West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ. Evening Session, The Experience of Christ in Philippians. Message 1, Taking Christ as Our Living.
Hallelujah!
Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, Christ is now my life.
When we're singing tonight, I can't help but think of hymn 510, which gives us 65 items of Christ, and toward the end it says, since such a treasure I possess, my heart doth sing for joy, and I must sing, and sing, and sing, and sing, and sing, and sing!
Amen.
If we really see what kind of Christ we have, we'll never stop singing.
Amen.
You know, when I was growing up in the denominations, my mother made me sit beside her, and even when I was early high school, and she would open the hymn book and say, sing. And I'd always tell her, my throat's sore. Or something. I don't feel like singing. But when I began to really see Christ and to enjoy Christ and experience Christ, I must sing and sing and sing and sing and sing. What a Christ have I!
Amen.
Our wonderful Christ, brothers and sisters, is not just this little itty-bitty Christ person, but he's the wonderful all-inclusive Christ. He is the complete God. When you have Jesus, you have the entire Father, Son, and Spirit.
Amen.
You have the whole triune God. You have absolutely spotless, faultless, flawless, perfect man. How many of you need a perfect man in you? Wow. And you have the reality of every positive thing in the entire universe. And I want you to ask your neighbor, how big is Christ? What'd your neighbor say? According to the Bible, all the fullness of God dwells in him. Not only that, but the church is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. And fullness means not just this close to the top, it means overflowing. How big is Christ? He is bigger than the universe. And people still don't know how big the universe is. Right? So how much Christ do we have to receive and enjoy and gain?
Amen.
That I may gain Christ!
Amen.
I tell you, this Christ is so awesomely great. We need every second. Let's gain Christ.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, let's gain Christ.
Amen.
He wants us to see him. He wants us to appreciate him, enjoy him, and gain him, and become constituted with him so that we could become his enlargement. So we have a big, big Christ. Wow. Amen. I've illustrated before, if I gave you this book, it's very easy. You can receive that and enjoy it. If I give you all my wallet and everything, you got more to receive and enjoy. If I give you the whole state of California, the whole thing's yours. All the riches, the wealth, everything, it's all yours for your enjoyment. The whole USA. Yeah, he said, hallelujah. Eureka. And all of USA. How about if I give you the whole northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, the whole earth? How about if I give you our whole solar system? It's all yours, and you are able to enjoy and appreciate and take advantage of everything. It's all yours for your enjoyment. How about if I give you somebody who overflows the universe? How much enjoyment do you have? This Christ is awesomely wonderful. That I may gain Christ! We want to be those who gain Christ. That's the whole burden of this training, is that we would see this wonderful one every second, every minute, every meeting, every fellowship, whatever. We would gain Christ. Amen. Tonight we want to go home a little bit richer, a little bit more Christ. So we want to gain him tonight. You know, the first line every morning is on the Christian life in Philippians, right? It's on the life in Philippians. Tonight we're touching this line of the experience of Christ in Philippians. But in the morning line, what was the exact title of the morning line? That meeting, 9:15, 9:30? No, but I mean the overall title, Charles. Yeah, The Christian Life in Philippians. Yeah, and then specifically, as Charles mentioned, was a life in the furtherance of the gospel. What kind of life does the book of Philippians show? What kind of a Christian life? It's a gospel preaching, gospel living life. It's a life of enjoying this one who's to me for you, who's we drink and flow, he's in and out, and he's this wonderful one. This all-inclusive one is just to me for you, and he wants to be the one who is circulating. He's the fellowshipping, flowing one who wants to be furthered into mankind so that he could have his increase. So the life that is described, the Christian life that's described in Philippians, is a gospel-preaching life, a furthering of Christ, a spreading of Christ, that more people would gain Christ. Amen. More people could wear this kind of name tag. not with just the outward name tag, but that's their burden. That's their experience, that I may gain Christ. Amen. I tell you, if you really... Now, listen, this matter of being one with the Lord, who is the flowing Christ, to really experience him in the Christian life is to be one with him for the furtherance of the gospel. Not just individualistically, we saw, but together in coordination. And if this is the case, then we are really in the subject of Philippians. And the subject of Philippians is experiencing and enjoying Christ. Amen. Before I came into the Lord's recovery, I even attended one of the top Christian colleges for part of my college time, and every semester you had to take a Bible class, but it was so boring. So boring because nobody saw what a Christ he is, what a flowing, liquid, dispensing, edible, enjoyable, and nobody saw God's economy. Nobody saw this controlling vision. So there's not a lot of joyful singing, but there's just a lot of dead teaching and doctrine. Oh, but when we see this wonderful Christ, oh, and the fact that he is the processed and consummated triune God. He's the one who became flesh. He's the one who became the life-giving Spirit. He's not just far away. He's not just historical. He's not just in the distance. We wave to him on Sunday, and I'll see you next week. All right. And then we live our own life. This one is the wonderful processed one, who's the life-giving Spirit, which means he can come to us, he reaches us, he enters into us, he mingles with us, and he's making home in us, moment by moment. Oh, right this moment, oh, he's making home in our heart.
Amen.
He's the wonderful Christ who wants to be constituted into us. So he's the furthering, flowing Christ for the building of his body. That's the kind of Christ we have. So, brothers and sisters, I was just really touched. I just wanted to touch one thought this morning. That if we really want to experience and enjoy Christ, now ask your neighbor. Neighbor, do you really want to experience and enjoy Christ? Ask your neighbor. What'd your neighbor say? That doesn't sound very strong.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You better ask him again. Yes! We need to have this Christian life that's a life in the furtherance of the gospel. One with this one who's drinkable and flowable, so that he could be buildable and increasable and expandable and enlargeable, so that he could have his wonderful body as his expression. Brother Lee calls this the factor. I like this. The factor that allows us to really experience and enjoy Christ is this factor of the Christian life as a life that's for the furtherance of the gospel. A gospel preaching, a gospel living life, and not just alone, but in coordination with others by praying and everything. This factor really allows you to have a Christ experiencing and enjoying life. And brothers and sisters, if you don't have this factor of the furtherance of the gospel, Christ coming out of you, even by praying with others for friends and classes and things like that, you are lacking a huge factor. Even you hear this phrase, Christ experiencing, Christ enjoying, and it's a nice phrase, but it's not your experience. So we need this factor. So I just want to refer to, it was in your readings for that morning, your quote, you know, the excerpts. But Brother Stephen told me he didn't have a chance to read that, but that's okay, no problem. But in that was from a writing and speaking from our Brother Lee, and he just said, I have it just about word for word, but it's close enough. He said, my only taste, my only desire, my only interest while I'm on this earth is to help sinners to be saved, is to help you, neighbor, to enjoy the Lord more. That means anybody around us. And to help the church to be built up organically as the body of Christ through the ministering of Christ's life. Then he said, that's what I really enjoy. And then a few sentences later he said, nothing on the whole earth can frustrate somebody who enjoys Christ.
Amen.
Nothing. How many of you want a living like that?
Amen.
You can see by his testimony, by his speaking, he's talking about a Christian life that has this factor of fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. And Brother Lee was a happy brother. He was a genuinely happy brother. The only reason I'm happy today is because I met that happy brother. Amen.
Amen!
Hallelujah! And really, he's happy because he sees the vision of God's economy, which is full of this all-inclusive Christ. And this is a pneumatic, flowing, liquid Christ just wanting to come into us, saturate us, permeate us, soak us, and flow through us out to others in coordination with other members for the building up of his body. So, brothers and sisters, I just wanted to emphasize this before we go on to tonight's meeting, that we want to see the Christian life in the book of Philippians is a life of the gospel. It's a life of the furtherance of the gospel. Christ who wants to flow into man. If you have this factor, you'll be a person who is really experiencing and enjoying Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And nothing can frustrate someone who enjoys Christ. So tell your neighbor, nothing can frustrate someone who enjoys Christ. And that means nothing. That means nothing. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll see tonight that this is true related to Paul's experience of Christ. Now we come to tonight, and what's the overall burden of the whole week? What's on your name tag? That I may gain Christ. And tonight the experience of Christ in Philippians, this whole line this week on all the evening meetings, the experience of Christ in Philippians. Not just some knowledge, but the experience. And Philippians is a book on the experience of Christ. And the Lord's wanting, you know, the Lord is so experientiable, he wants you to experience him right now.
Amen.
Amen. Even as we were singing, now it's no longer I that live, but Christ. I was just enjoying him. Now it's no longer I who speak, but Christ who speaks in me.
Amen.
No longer you who listen, but Christ who listens in you.
Amen.
We're just one with this wonderful Christ. So tonight, the specific experience that we're aiming at and that we want to detail and bring more into our actual living is taking Christ as our living. Not just as somebody for a certain day at a certain time or a certain experience, but our experience of Christ would be taking Christ as our living. Every chapter of Philippians shows us another degree and dimension of the wonderful, experiential Christ, and chapter 1 is full of this matter of taking Christ as our living. So what's that mean? That means that for me, to do dishes is Christ. For to me, to sit down is Christ. For to me, to smile is Christ. For to me, to walk is Christ. Whatever I do, for to me to drive, no, Christ driveth in me. Christ sitteth in me. And what do you have? What happens when Christ is your living? Ooh, oh, what a salvation this! What a salvation! Praise the Lord!
Amen.
And what salvation mean? Means I gain Christ. All of us have been saved from going to the lake of fire, from eternal perdition. Everybody that's been saved from going to hell say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
But we need saved from many, many things. We need saved from ourselves. We need saved from loving the world. We need saved from the flesh. We need saved from our opinion. We need saved from discouragement. We need saved from distraction. We need saved from lack of patience. No love. We need saved. We need saved, 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 saved. We need to be those who have Christ as our living. So, brothers and sisters, we come tonight to three of the most awesome verses in the entire Bible. And that's Philippians 1:19, particularly 21 through 21a. I'm going to do my best to quote them. And if you want to open up, because I hope these verses are indelibly impressed in you. They're written on your heart. And I love this. And how's it start out? It says, for I know that for me, this. Well, what's this? All kinds of thises. There's a car breakdown this. There's a heat wave this. There's an argument this. There's a tummy ache this. There's all kinds of thises. There's a roommate problem this. There's a sleeping this. Paul was a prison this. Circumstance this. This, 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 this. And Paul's saying, I know that for me, this.
Amen.
You name it. This will turn out to salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
How? Through the body. Through others praying.
Amen.
Through your petitions. And through what? The bountiful. Not the itty-bitty, not the wimpy, little. But the bountiful. Bountiful Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then verse 20, according to my earnest, my very earnest expectation and my hope that not even in one thing would I be found complaining, moaning, and groaning, but in all things, as always, even right now,
amen.
Even right this moment,
amen.
Christ would be magnified in my body,
amen.
Whether through life,
amen.
Or through death.
Amen.
Death means life is good times. Death is bad times. I would not be put to shame. Ask your neighbor, neighbor, what does it mean to be put to shame as a Christian? It's a good question, isn't it? It means to be found at any moment by anyone not enjoying Christ. How many of you need to experience Christ more? Oh, the experience of Christ we're touching tonight is taking Christ as our living. He's our living. To the point that not even in one circumstance would we be put to shame. Many times I'm on the freeway, somebody cuts me off, I'm in a hurry, and inside, you wish you had a tank that you could drive them off the road. But the Lord's training me lately. Somebody cut me off the other day. They cut me off. I was at first infuriated, wanted to let them know that I knew what they did, and I was, and the Lord just touched me. Oh, and he turned, and I just said, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. And I love that driver. My whole attitude changed. I got saved. Finally, I passed him. He was in another lane. I passed him. I said, I just had a sense, I love that guy. Otherwise, it's like, you just want to let him know how you feel about him. We need saved. Saved in all kinds of circumstances. So this is wonderful. Oh, and then how does it, you know, whether through life or through death, you know, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. For to me, to live is Christ. That means for to me to think is Christ, for to me to feel is Christ, for me to choose is Christ, for me to consider, for me to do this, do that, is just Christ. Wow, that's awesome. Wow, for to me to be married is Christ. For to me to be a father is Christ. For to me to be a daughter or a son is Christ. Everything is just Christ. Christ in God's economy, Christ is everything. Okay. The subject and the controlling concept of the book of Philippians. Anyway, brothers and sisters, oh, these three verses. I hope. I cannot tell you how many times these three verses have kept me. There have been times where serious, serious satanic turmoil came into the Lord's recovery, wiping out close co-workers that I was very close to, took them out, and today they're negative, opposing. I tell you, what kept me was the life study of Philippians. That in nothing I would be put to shame. And I realized everybody who became negative was deviating from the experience and enjoyment of Christ. There wasn't a living of Christ, there was a living of opinions. And the issue is nothing but satanic division. So I was saved and saved and saved. The subject and the controlling concept of the book of Philippians is the experience of Christ. Amen. Which is the master key to open the book of Philippians to us. And actually, in another writing, our brother mentions, if you don't see the vision of God's economy with Christ as everything and enter into the experience of Him, nothing opens up. The key that opens every door is the experience of Christ. So in Philippians 3, 7 to 10, he just says, oh, that I may gain Christ. Ooh, that I may know Christ. Oh, that I may be found in Christ. He's exhausting his vocabulary to really say, oh, I want to gain Christ. I want Christ to be my living. Everything about me is Christ.
Amen.
That's God's economy.
Amen.
God became man in order to make man God.
Amen.
Not in the Godhead for worship. No, but in constitution, in our life, in our element, nature, and essence, for his expression. So, we want to enter into the experience of Christ. This experience is living Christ. Living Christ. Chapter 4, verse 13 says, Paul said, I'm able to do all things. That doesn't mean, he didn't mean, I'm Superman, I'm able to come out of any phone booth, change my clothes, and jump to the moon. No, he meant, I'm able to be anywhere, even in prisons or anything, magnifying Christ. I am able. I was just recently in Perth, Australia. One of the leading brothers is a young brother named Abel. And we were in a meeting, and there was a bunch of saints sharing, and he hadn't shared yet. And I said, oh, don't you all feel that he's able to share? And anyway, I was just kind of teasing. But anyway, his sharing was awesome. But I love his name, Abel. Because of Christ as the empowering one, I'm able to do all things in the one who empowers me. He's the enabling one. Now, saints, the main burden tonight is Philippians is a book not only on the experience, we could say, and the enjoyment of Christ. You know, what's the difference between experiencing and enjoying Christ? You may experience a meal that you eat, but you may not enjoy it. Yeah. How many of you have experienced eating but didn't enjoy it? Tell the truth, everybody. But we want to experience to the point where we enjoy, and the experience would be that of living Christ. Our experience would be that of Christ would be our living. Now, I'm just going to go through the outline, and as the Lord leads, to speak certain things. The basic thought in the Bible is that the triune God desires to work himself into us so that we may take him as life and live him. Ephesians, what's Ephesians 3 say, David? It says, oh, that Christ would, we would be strengthened into our inner man, right? And the result is that Christ would make his home in our heart. By the wonderful Spirit, with our spirit, we'd be strengthened and our spirit could invade our heart. So, this is the thought of God, that Christ would be worked into us. The Lord desires that we would join him to build the church, but we can't build the church. The only way we can build the church is to let Christ be built into us. Be one with him as the builded and building God. So, okay, B, the Christian life, hallelujah, is not a life of ethics, religion, culture, or even morality. The Christian life is Christ. So, brothers and sisters, ask your neighbor, give me a working definition of religion. What did your neighbor say? Huh? Hmm? Okay. Yeah, formal. Yeah, all those things are right. Religion is the worshiping of God without any enjoyment of Christ. Even we could be religious. Lord, save me. How about we pray that? Lord, save me. So the Christian life's not a life of these things. The Christian life is just Christ. In Colossians 3:11, if the Christian life is just Christ, then you know what happens? Wow, here we are as what's called the one new man in Colossians 3. And in the one new man, Christ is all and Christ is in all. Christ is just everything. This has nothing to do with religion. Actually, as you preach the gospel on campus to people and things, saints, many people like to, they're happy to hear that God is not interested in religion. They're happy to hear that. Many doors open, I know, as I speak to people. experiencing Christ has nothing to do with religion. Whoa, right away there's a little opening. Religion has caused a lot of doors to shut. Now, Paul's life was to live Christ. For to me, to live is Christ. And there's Galatians 2:20, saints. You want to sing that song? I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved and gave himself up for me. And now what? And now I'm singing in the Spirit, song by song, note by note. Lord, I love you. You're the precious one to me. And then what? As I do this and that, remind me. Remind me where you're at. You're in my dispensing what? Dispensing grace to me. I love this. So this is a song and just a development of Galatians 2:20. Number one, Christ lived within Paul as his life. Paul lived Christ without as his living. So Paul, Christ was in Paul as his life. Paul lived Christ outwardly, at the expression, was Christ as his living. They lived together as one person with one life and one living. Isn't that good? When we live Christ, Christ and we in Christ, Christ and we in Christ, Christ and we in Christ, live together. The two lives have one living. Two natures are mingled into one nature. Two spirits become one spirit. Okay, ask your neighbor a question. Neighbor, what is John 6:57 B? That's right. He who eats me shall live because of me. The factor, the word because, he who eats me shall live because of me. Just as you ate dinner tonight. Everybody that ate dinner, say amen.
Amen.
You are sitting here tonight because you ate dinner. Otherwise, you may pass out. But the factor of your living is your eating. So our living of Christ is because of eating Christ. And 1 Corinthians 6:17, which is mentioned many times on this outline, everybody that knows this, let's declare this verse with a strong spirit. But he who is joined to the Lord
is one spirit.
And if you didn't know it before this, I know you know it now. Let's do it again. But he who is joined to the Lord
is one spirit.
Amen. It doesn't say whoever spirit is joined to the Lord is one spirit. It says he. It means the whole person. James, he who is joined to the Lord, in God's eyes, you are organically one with Christ. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I'll illustrate this. I've mentioned this in some meetings, but I don't remember when. Anyway, in the 90s, there was the full-time training was going, and some of the trainees at that time, we were having big young people's gatherings in different places. Well, we had one on a Saturday in San Diego area. And myself and another trainer from the training were supposed to go down to help with the speaking of those meetings. And there was a meeting from 4 to 6, and then there was another meeting from 7 to 9, something like that. Okay, and there was supposed to be an air show. I found out there was an air show at what used to be a big air base on the way down. So my smart mentality said, don't take that freeway, take the other freeway. So I tried to go another way. Make a long story short, the way I took, the verse I'd been enjoying is, oh, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I was just enjoying, Christ driveth in me. And anyway, the way I went, I thought would be traffic-free, was traffic jam. And the time was flying, and I was supposed to share in the first meeting. And it was slow and slow and slow and slow. Terrible. I didn't have a cell phone at that time. Keep in touch with this other brother. And it got worse and worse. I got down there. It was already close to the meeting time. I finally got to the hall in San Diego, and it was completely locked, and nobody was there. So I didn't know what to do. And I didn't have a cell phone, and I didn't have any phone numbers. I finally found one, and I found a brother. He just said, no, it's not there. They're going to have it up at another place in an area that's kind of north of there that I had already bypassed to some extent. So they told me how to go. So I went, and I got lost again. I ended up going into a Navy base, and the guy redirected me, and I wasn't all this time. I wasn't looking at my gas gauge. I got on this freeway, and it was kind of a lonely area. Nobody around, and my car ran out of gas. So, and it was already time for the meeting. And as I walked up the ramp off the freeway, I was just walking with a suit on, and it was pretty hot. Nobody around. The only thing that I found was a horse farm. And I just said, Lord Jesus, I'm one with you, and you're one with me. Christ walketh in me. Christ driveth in me. I just love you. And Lord, I said, Lord, whoever helps me is helping you, because you and I are stuck. So finally, I got to the horse farm, and one girl came. And I said, ma'am, I said, could you help me? You can see my car ran out of gas. I need help. And oh, yeah, okay, let me, and it was really, the time was pressing, so she said, yeah, I'll be right back. Let me take care of one horse. She said, about 20 minutes later, Christ waiteth in me. Finally, she comes. And there's an old truck and a big dog in the front seat as well. And anyway, so she took me to a gas station. She herself got lost, made a wrong turn. Finally, we got to the gas station, but I was just enjoying the Lord. And on the way, I told her, I said, you know, I love the Lord Jesus. He lives in me. I live in him. He and I are just one. And I told the Lord, whoever helps me is helping you. I told her this on the way. Then we got to gasoline and spoke a little bit more to her on the way back when she got to my car. And she admitted she was a Christian. She was backslidden and just began to weep with repentance. And I still remember both of us just shedding tears in the car of her being, in a sense, turned back to the Lord. I cannot tell you what a salvation that was. Just the experience of Christ with this person who I had no idea about, but the Lord knew I needed to run out of gas right near the horse farm. And I was just marveling at the Lord's doing. She drove away, and I got, my car was parked there, and I just... Boy, I was so happy. I hit the side of my car. It was loud. I said, Jesus is God! I don't know why. I was just so... How about we stand up and shout that? Jesus is God. Jesus is God! Again, Jesus is God! Amen. Anyway, I just enjoyed it. This one is so experiential. He wants to be lived by us. He wants us to take him as our living. Well, I finally got to the meeting, and guess what? The first meeting was over. So I had to speak in the second meeting, but I never had such an enjoyable time in my whole life up to that point as I did in that second meeting. Mainly because the Lord wants us to take him as our living, and the Lord was trying to use that whole experience to train me. For I know that for me, this, running out of gas, will turn out to salvation. Through the petitions of the body and through the bountiful supply of the Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, the next point, D, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about six times, five or six times, it uses the word supply. Supply, supply, the supply. Everything is their supply. The bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ was for Paul to live and magnify Christ. was for Paul to live and magnify Christ. Don't you love hymn 509? God is in Christ to be my supply. God as the Spirit nourisheth me. If upon Christ in spirit I feed, fill with His life, I'll be. Anyway, this wonderful one, as the bountifully supplying Spirit, wants to supply us. In life study number 5 of Philippians, let me just read this real quickly. And this is somewhat in the footnotes, but it's very good. Literally, the Greek word refers to the supplying of all the needs. Literally, it means from the Greek. The needs of a chorus. The chorus in ancient times, by someone known as the choregus, the leader, or the director of the chorus. Greek word Paul uses thus implies a bountiful supply. The choregus supplied all the needs of everyone in the chorus. The need food, clothing, lodging, musical instruments. The supply of the choregus truly was bountiful, even all-inclusive. Once a person had joined the chorus, there was no need for him to be concerned about any of the necessities of life. The choregus would supply whatever he needed. In using the expression, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, Paul likens the supply of the Spirit to that of the choregus. Therefore, to have a proper understanding of 1:19, we need the word bountiful with the word supply. This bountiful supply of the all-inclusive Spirit was for Paul to live Christ and magnify Christ in his sufferings, for him. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is bountiful and all-inclusive today. What we have today is not a partial supply, but a bountiful, all-inclusive supply.
Amen.
How about we shout hallelujah for the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
The bountiful supply of the all-inclusive Spirit includes divinity, humanity, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, the divine attributes, and the human virtues. Saints, supply is a big word. It's a big word. I have used this illustration. I hope you would forgive me for using it again. When we had our second child, our daughter, we lived in Denver. My mother-in-law came to be with us. She was with us for a couple weeks. One day we were shopping, and my wife wanted to shop for baby clothes and things like that. We were shopping and going around, and eventually it was getting toward dinner time. It was getting late, and I said to my wife, in not a good way, I said, let's go home. It's time to eat. Now, I wasn't in the church life then, but I did know the Lord. And my wife knew the Lord, and my mother-in-law knew the Lord. And my wife, I didn't speak in a good way. Then her mother got mad at me, and she said, don't you speak to my daughter that way. Then I got mad. I said, don't you speak to her husband that way. And the car was filled with smoke. And we drove home, and there was not a sound in the car all the way home. Got home. My wife got food out of the refrigerator, heated it up, put it on a table. We started eating. I started feeling a little better. Little supplied. I looked at my mother-in-law. I said, oh, Mom, I'm sorry for what I said. She said, oh, son, I'm sorry for what I said. Everybody was sorry. And the result was happiness. Well, it's a picture. It's just a picture. If you are supplied, then you're able to live under any circumstances. It's a very good picture. And we have the wonderful Christ as our choregus.
Amen.
The bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that we can live under any kind of circumstance.
Amen.
So we could say, for to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
Christ would be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. This wonderful Christ is not only the Spirit is not only the Spirit of Jesus, the human being, but the Spirit of Christ with the power of His resurrection, enabling us. And all of His divine attributes and human virtues are there. Brothers and sisters, a lot of you, I think, were in the summer training. Not all of you, but some. And it's wonderful. This wonderful Christ with his highest standard of morality, he's our jubilee. He's the very one whose divine attributes saturate his human virtues. Everything about his humanity expresses God. Praise the Lord! So this is really, really wonderful that this bountiful supply of the Spirit includes everything of the Lord and his divine attributes and his human virtues, so that when we have the Spirit, John 7:39 just says, drink. These things of drinking the Lord, it means I'm referring to the Spirit. The Spirit. The all-inclusive Spirit. He's the one who supplies us. So I like this. In Acts 27 and 28, brothers and sisters, it was not referred to here, but Paul was sailing to Rome as a prisoner, being taken to Rome for trial, but he was not actually the prisoner. He was actually the captain of the ship because he was so supplied. He was so supplied, he was actually telling everybody what to do. Paul was really the one who you know, it says in a footnote in Acts 28, this was Jesus living again on the earth in his divinely enriched humanity. Paul's human virtues were just filled with the divine attributes. Paul was supplied, and this ship experience with the ship going up and down, over and side, and everything was a mess, he was richly supplied. So he could say that, for me, this will turn out to salvation. Hallelujah! He was richly supplied, so in the middle of the whole thing, he could say, cheer up, men. Cheer up, men! Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, cheer up! Hallelujah! How's this possible? Because Christ is this bountifully supplying, wonderful Spirit. We should not be satisfied simply to have a doctrinal understanding of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We must go on to experience the compound, all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, who is the process triune God, as everything to us. He's everything to us. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, he's the Spirit.
Amen.
That means he's gainable.
Amen.
Let's gain him. And as the type of Christ is the compound ointment in the Old Testament, and it means what? That in this wonderful Spirit is the preciousness of his death, the flowing myrrh, and is the sweetness of his death, the fragrant cinnamon, and the preciousness of his resurrection, the fragrant calamus that comes right up out of the mud, and the power of his resurrection, which is the cassia. And that means he's got the power to overcome everything. Death, repel every insect, every snake, including the devil. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the wonderful, wonderful, all-inclusive Spirit.
Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, typified by the compound ointment. You know, brothers and sisters, we should be so happy. I hope you circle that word, processed. Processed. Remember the song this morning? Christ has put on human nature. Become a man like me, died upon the cross, that I from Adam might be free. Aren't you glad our Christ was processed?
Amen.
Consummated? He became the wonderful life-giving Spirit?
Amen.
So that he could be experientiable. He could be enterable. He could be tastable, edible, drinkable. And he could be wonderfulable. Amen. And he could be constitutable into our being. And we could be those who are really experiencing him as the one living in us. Christ is our living.
Amen.
By such a spirit, number three, Paul suffered for God's economy and simultaneously enjoyed the bountiful supply that strengthened him in resurrection. Brothers and sisters, I just want to look at one footnote. If you will look at Philippians 1, verse 20. And a lot of these meetings, brothers and sisters, are just heavenly, divine, rich, enjoyable, edible, life-giving Spirit Bible studies. Chapter 1, verse 20 is the one we talked about, magnifying Christ. And footnote 21, a small little 1 on 20. There's a sentence there. It just says, the apostles' sufferings afforded him opportunity to express Christ in his unlimited greatness. All the problems and sufferings that we go through, brothers and sisters, just afford us a way to express Christ in his unlimited greatness. So even all the problems that we face are just for the expression of Christ. He's the wonderful, bountifully supplying Spirit, and as we experience him and enjoy him, then for to me to live is Christ. And he would be magnified through me. And we'll get into the significance of this in just a moment. Okay? Now, Paul could be an overcomer because he experienced and enjoyed the all-inclusive Spirit with his bountiful supply dwelling in him to be everything to him. To be everything to him. Praise the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, if we see this Christ in Philippians, we enter into the experience of this Christ, we can overcome everything. And the Lord's recovery, we've been brought to the seeing and the vision of Christ and into the wonderful enjoyment of this wonderful Christ. When you enjoy him, no problem. Everything is jubilee.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, our Christ is jubilee.
Neighbor, our Christ is jubilee.
Amen. Ecstasy, joy, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We'll touch this some more. To live Christ is to live the Spirit who's entered into our spirit to become one spirit with us. We need to remain in the mingled spirit. I like this. Underline remain. Live in the mingled spirit. Underline live. Breathe in the mingled spirit. Are you breathing right now? Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Pray in the mingled spirit. Oh, Lord. Contacting the Lord in the mingled spirit. And fellowship with him in the mingled spirit. In the mingled spirit, in the mingled spirit, in the mingled spirit.
Amen.
To live Christ is to live the Spirit.
Amen.
And it's possible to live the Spirit by being in our mingled spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, right this moment, we want to live you.
Amen.
And we thank you it's possible. Because you are the Spirit.
Amen.
Mingle with our Spirit.
Amen.
So at this given moment, we get to live Christ.
Amen.
To live Christ is to live in, pray in, fellowship in, breathe in the mingled Spirit. So let's, during this whole time, let's remain in our mingled Spirit.
Amen.
The last verse of all the reference verses there are, the Lord be with your spirit, John. Grace be with you.
Amen.
Amen. So, thank the Lord, this wonderful Christ who's the supplying one, he is the Spirit. So, to live Christ, to experience Christ in the way of living Christ, and even magnifying Christ, is possible because he's the bountifully supplying Spirit. He is the courageous. How many of you want to live Christ? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you have the capacity because you have the bountiful Spirit?
Amen.
We all do.
Amen.
We need to be so grateful to the Lord. Lord, you're the wonderful Spirit.
Amen.
So I'm able to live you because you're mingled with me in my spirit.
Amen.
Lord, grace me. Keep me right now in my mingled spirit.
Amen.
How about we pray that right now? Lord, keep me right now in my mingled spirit. Lord, keep me
right now.
Now, E is a very critical one, brothers and sisters. Listen, to live Christ means that no matter what our circumstances may be, no matter what our circumstances may be, Christ is magnified in us and that we are not put to shame in anything. We're not put to shame in anything. How many of you would like to experience this more?
Amen.
Not put to shame in anything. Sometimes, because, you know when you're put to shame the most? You're put to shame the most around people that you know the best. Sometimes my wife will say something and I just automatically react. Just no exercise of the Spirit, no living in the Spirit. Just, I tell you, we're put to shame the most around those whom we know, we're familiar with. The Lord wants to upgrade us so that our experience of Christ would be, for to me to live Christ is to live Christ. For to me to live is Christ, even around those that I am close to. First John 2:28, brothers and sisters, I'll just read it to you. It is an awesome verse. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that if he is manifested, we may have boldness and not be put to shame from him at his coming. So, brothers and sisters, what if the Lord comes tonight? Oh, we want to be those who are not put to shame.
Amen.
He himself is in us as the Spirit.
Amen.
To be our capacity to live him.
Amen.
So we want this desire, this aspiration within this verse. And now, little children, abide in him, so that if he is manifested, we may have boldness and not be put to shame from him at his coming. I'd like to just read a little bit of the excerpt, brothers and sisters, from tonight's message. On page 95 in your book, I won't look at too much, but touch too much, but on page 95 you see several paragraphs, and I'm not going to read them all, but one paragraph, the third one down, says, in our daily living, we should magnify Christ, making him great in the eyes of others. Where you work or go to school, people may look down on Christ. They may ridicule him. Look at the paragraph above, first of all. At the Paul's imprisonment, the Jews were despised by the Romans. The Romans were the conquerors. The Jews were the conquered ones. Among these conquered ones, there was a man named Jesus. Although he's great and most wonderful in the eyes of the Romans, he was nothing. But as Paul was held captive in a Roman prison, he magnified Christ, making him to appear great in the eyes of his captors.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, most people, even though there's a little respect for the Lord Jesus, most people make him nothing. The New York Yankees is everything. Jesus Christ is nothing. This is everything. That's nothing. The latest movie, that's everything. Jesus Christ, nothing. Nothing. This is everything. That Jesus Christ is nothing. Brothers and sisters, the Lord, for his economy's sake, for his expression, he needs those who would live him and magnify him.
Amen.
Now, I like this. In our daily living, we would magnify him, and there's a sentence. They may ridicule him, take his name in vain. Take his name in vain. Brothers and sisters, when I first came into the church, I fell in love with this Christ. He's the all-inclusive Christ. He's the life-giving Spirit. I was a school teacher, but I was also a carpenter, working on tall buildings in downtown L.A. as a carpenter, and I worked with this older man very closely for a while. And the first few days I worked, every time something went wrong, he cursed the Lord's name. My spirit was so offended. One time something went wrong when we were working. He cursed the Lord's name. I got up from where we were, and I looked at him, and I said, is that the way you call on the name of the Lord? I said, listen to how I call. Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen.
I just called several times, lost my face, released my spirit. Of course, it was a noisy building site and everything. And he looked at me, he didn't know what was going on. But from that day on, every time something went wrong, he began to lose his temper. He started to say, I'm sorry. He was very apologetic. At least Christ got a little bit bigger in his eyes.
Amen.
And I enjoyed the Lord a lot. For to me to live is Christ!
Amen.
Let's magnify Christ. Then the next paragraph, we should also magnify him at home. ooh, the parents of some of the young people may not believe in Christ. They may even despise him. There may be some in this room like that. I believe there are. So you need to bear the responsibility to enlarge Christ. A magnifying glass is for enlarging before their parents. And I like this sentence. Instead of simply preaching, just magnify him. Look at, read that last sentence of that paragraph together. Go, young people, let your parents see Christ's
greatness in you.
Again, stronger. Young people,
let your parents see Christ's greatness in you.
Isn't that good? And then the next prayer, we can magnify Christ even in a situation where we have little or no liberty to speak about him. We may have little or no liberty to speak, but we would be luminaries. We would be enjoying Christ, and even our shining is a speaking. Even our joy in the midst of so many negative things would be the Lord's speaking. So in school, on the job, at home, anywhere, everywhere, on the freeway, amen.
Amen.
For to me to live is Christ. Brothers and sisters, number one, even as Paul was held captive in a Roman prison, he was full of joy and rejoicing in the Lord. If all those verses, you look at how many references there are, all the way, Philippians 1:4, all the way through 4:4, and then including Acts 16. But you know, all those verses that are referred to in Philippians, every one of them uses the word joy or rejoice.
Wow.
That means the experience of Christ in the book of Philippians is an experience of joy and rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Rejoice in this one.
Amen.
Who's the wonderful Spirit mingle with you in your spirit.
Amen.
Oh, it's by this wonderful one that we can be joyful in the midst of turmoil and degradation and all kinds of problems. So we want to be those who are full of joy and rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.
He's the wonderful Christ supplying us, and he is our joy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord is our joy.
Amen.
So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord occasionally.
Oh.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
And again, I will say rejoice.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, pray, read with your neighbor for just 20 seconds. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Okay, hold. Isn't this wonderful? Amen. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, brothers and sisters, we mentioned in the training, they're in the stocks, everything is dark, everything is gloomy, but they were at midnight, it said, while praying, they were singing hymns of praise. They were rejoicing in the Lord. This was not doctrine. Paul and Silas were really in the experience of Christ, for to them to be in prison was Christ. And the little itty-bitty Christ that most people thought of, the one who's nothing, was magnified and enlarged through these dear prisoners. And the result was people got saved, and hallelujah, for the first church in Europe.
Amen.
Through two despised prisoners and a despised Jesus who was enlarged through them. Isn't this wonderful? Now, Paul's shining forth and expressing Christ in his joy were a declaration of the unlimited greatness of Christ and a declaration that Christ is inexhaustible.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us enjoy Christ!
Amen.
You know, in the 80s, late 80s, a whole group of really wild beach people got saved. And it was through circumstances I won't go into, but I got involved. And a couple of hundred of them got saved at this funeral when we preached the gospel there. And they got really saved, really called on the Lord. And I remember after that we started to have some small group gatherings, and maybe six saints and maybe 25 or 30 of them in a home. and most of them between ages of 19 and 23, wild ones. But they got newly saved. Some of them after the meeting say, when did you get saved? Oh, I got saved, I think, when we were singing that song a few minutes ago. That's when they got saved. Anyway, we were gathering this one time, and they were just jubilating. They were enjoying this Christ. And here comes one of these brothers grabbed two Mormon missionaries who were going down the block and brought them into the house. Put them in the front row of our gathering. Here are these two young men, you know, dressed in suits. And we were singing, I've given up the world because I found something more. He's better than anything I've ever found before. Yes, he's the one who set me free. How my spirit's bored. I am for the Lord, I'm for the Lord. And anytime anybody in the room, eventually we'd go by twos. And as these two would stand up and say, I'm for the Lord. And then the whole room would stand up, you two brothers, say, I'm for the Lord. Okay, wait. Okay, well, you say, I'm for the Lord. And everybody else, when they say they're for the Lord, we go right in their face. You know, we just go, yeah, they're for the Lord. You guys say, oh, we're for the Lord. Come on. We're for the Lord! Yeah! We better do it again. Come on, you ready?
We're for the Lord! Yeah!
Anyway, finally it came their time, and here's these two Mormons. We're for the Lord, and the whole room was on them. They were just being infused because of the enjoyment. They had never hit anything like that in their life. Eventually, after about half an hour, they had to leave. And as they were leaving, all these new ones were shouting about Jesus and calling on the Lord. I think they went back to Mormon headquarters with an enlargement of Christ. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
If we allow the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to work in us, our daily living will be changed. Through the proper living, Christ will appear to be great in the eyes of others. Brothers and sisters, tonight I told the brothers I'd like to be done. I'm sorry, just in a few minutes. I'd like to leave at least 35 or 40 minutes for all of you to prophesy.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
For to me, to prophesy is Christ.
Amen.
In nothing I would be put to shame.
Amen.
But Christ would be magnified.
Amen.
It doesn't take just one brother speaking. It takes the body.
Amen.
For Christ
Amen.
To be magnified.
Amen.
Enlarged.
Amen.
And lived out. For to me to live is Christ. The central thought of the Bible is that God desires us to live Christ for the building up of the body of Christ. All these wonderful verses indicating that our living of Christ has a goal. It's not just so that I'm so wonderful. You look at this one brother, he's so wonderful. No, it's for the building of the body. It's for the Lord's corporate testimony. It's not for anybody's recognition. Oh, this is so-and-so. He's such a wonderful Christian. No, it's for the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
To live Christ should be the primary goal of our Christian life. All the troubles in our Christian life come because of not living Christ. Like my troubles on the freeway, they come because of not living Christ. The guy cuts you off, all the troubles come because I'm not enjoying Christ. But if I'm supplied, if I'm not supplied, kill that guy. If I'm supplied, I love that guy. The climax, the highest point of the divine revelation in the entire Bible is to live Christ. Brothers and sisters, can you go any higher? Give me a definition of the Christian life. The Christian life is this, Christian life is that. You can't go any higher than the Christian life is to live Christ. Because in God's economy, Christ is everything.
Amen.
So we're in this training so that we would gain Christ.
Amen.
And we would live Christ.
Amen.
This is the real experience of Christ. Now we'll go through these fairly quickly. In order to live Christ, we must realize that He is the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
In our spirit.
Amen.
And practice being one spirit with Him.
Amen.
Even to prophesy.
Amen.
Is anybody a professional? No. I love the word practice. Brothers and sisters, even tonight, right now, I'm still practicing.
Amen.
Practice, 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 practice.
Amen.
Until the Lord comes, practice.
Amen.
Practice being one spirit with Him. In order to practice being one spirit with Him, we must what? Exercise our spirit to pray unceasingly. Brothers and sisters, really wonderful that, wow, here you have a wonderful sandwich. A wonderful sandwich. I call it RPT. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. Rejoice, always rejoice. Unceasingly pray. In everything give thanks. The meat of the sandwich is pray. But praying needs the bread. Rejoicing and thanking. That's a poor illustration. But brothers and sisters, may this be our... Praying involves rejoicing.
Amen.
Praying involves thanking.
Amen.
Wow. RPT. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Always rejoice.
Amen.
Unceasingly pray.
Amen.
And everything give thanks.
Amen.
In the message I gave in the summer training, I forgot to bring out one point. Brother Nee says the tone of an overcoming living is a tone of thanksgiving and praise. Even bad things at bad times, we tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen. He used the illustration. If you take a fish out of water, it will not survive. If you take an overcoming living out of the realm of thanking and praising, it will not survive. So don't take the overcoming living of Christ in your spirit, this wonderful one who's mingled with you, don't let him out of the realm of rejoicing, praising, and thanking. We need to eat this sandwich for eternity. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
And as Brother Nee says, never take a time out from rejoicing.
Amen.
In this wonderful Christ. The habit of living Christ is the habit of prayer. Apart from unceasingly praying, we cannot live Christ. Brothers and sisters, praying means just breathing the Lord. Even many times, brothers and sisters, it means, Lord Jesus, I can't do it. Lord Jesus, I cannot get through this. But we are unceasingly breathing, opening, conversing. Unceasingly. Don't become silent to the Lord.
Amen.
Always keep your being in some way open to the Lord.
Amen.
Build up this habit. Then this wonderful one as the overcoming Christ becomes your life supply, and for you to live is Christ.
Amen.
And Christ can be magnified in us, whether through life or through death. Okay, now C. Let's read C, 1, 2, 3 all together. Living Christ also requires that we love Him
to the uttermost.
And we are engaged in our daily
activities. Our minds should be concentrated on Christ. The concentration of our mind on Christ depends upon our love for Christ.
Two, when we
love Christ to the uttermost, our entire being is occupied with Him, and we live Him.
Three,
because we love the Lord and seek Him, we like to contact Him, praising Him, and call upon Him. Part of the secret of living Christ.
Again and again and again.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Remember the footnote, Revelation 2:4, there's a sentence that says, nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with Christ. Nothing but love. Nothing. But love can keep us in a proper relationship with Christ. And, brothers and sisters, by loving Him, our being, there's a sentence in the book Experience and Growth in Life, the unique way to have your being concentrated on somebody is love. Charles loves his wife, Ida, don't you? Amen. And Ida loves Charles. I know that. But the only way they can keep their proper concentration on one another in their marriage is by love. It's by love. It's like I come home from a long trip from Australia, a little over three weeks, New Zealand. I come in the door, my wife falls down on the floor. Oh, giant husband. I would like to shine your shoes. I'll do your dishes. I'll vacuum your floors. I'll cook the food. I say, silly woman, stand up and give me a kiss. You know what it says in Psalm 212? It says, kiss the son, lest he be angry. The best way to get the Lord upset at you is don't love him. Just be business with him. Okay, I'll be a good guy, a good Christian. Mm-hmm. I'll read my Bible. I tell you. The end of 1 Corinthians, you know what it says? 1 Corinthians 16:22, it said, cursed are those who do not love the Lord. You come under a curse when you don't practice to love the Lord. The Lord is very jealous that we love him.
Amen.
And you know it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, you know what it says? It says, wow. It says, believing in the Lord, worshiping the Lord, fearing the Lord, they're okay, but they're the indispensable requirement is to love him. Otherwise, you could never live him. You're just a nice duty-doing person. The Lord doesn't just want a duty-doing person. He wants a lover. I want to be a lover.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A lover of Christ. Nothing allows you to concentrate on him more than love. This is one thing. The Lord said to Ephesus, he says in Revelation, he said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. You're doing lots of good things for me. But where's the love? Where's the first love? So may we never, ever, ever stop telling the Lord many, many, many times a day, and it may not be loud, but Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
And I think I've illustrated to you before, there's been times I woke up in the morning, I'm awake before my wife. I can't just say, Lord Jesus, I love you. She's still sleeping. But I have learned to even do this. You say, you laugh, but I tell you, it makes a difference to make your mouth go.
Amen.
Don't just think it, speak it. Speak it in any way and every way. Speak our love to the Lord again and again and again. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Lord, I just love you. And there's no one like you in the whole universe. I have no other one like you, Lord Jesus. Sisters, love the Lord. We brothers will love. You sing and we'll love. Brothers, Lord, I just love you. This is the secret to living and magnifying Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the experience of Christ in Philippians.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Okay, how about just share with your neighbor anything you enjoyed for 30 seconds?
Amen.
Amen.